Thank you for joining me today on the Brilliant Business Moms podcast. This is episode 36, 5 ways to pursue integrity in your small business. Let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
I'm so glad you decided to join me today on the Brilliant Business Moms podcast. I'm Sarah Kornack. Today, we're going to be talking about 5 ways to pursue integrity in your small business. In episode 35, we talked with Haley, and I was struck by the fact that Haley was guiding a lot of the decisions on her children's clothing line. She was guiding her decisions off of principles and ethics that were important to her, matters of integrity. And when we spoke with Katie Clemens in episode 33, Katie also struck me as a woman who was very concerned about integrity and business ethics and how she treated other people. After talking with Haley and Katie over these last 2 episodes, they cared deeply about how they treated others and how they wanted to run their business in an ethical manner. So that inspired this episode. I've tried to come up with very practical examples for small businesses like the ones that you and I have. So I hope that this discussion on integrity and business ethics won't be pie in the sky, great in theory, hard to put into practice. I hope that you can walk away with some solid ideas of how to act with integrity in your business and conduct your business in an ethical way. The reason I chose the word pursue integrity in your small business for the title is because I do think this is always an ongoing process. All of us can work at our own personal integrity and the integrity of our business. No one person acts in a correct way all of the time. And so for each one of us, it's a constant pursuit of those values and those goals. Let me give you a good quote to get you started. This quote is from a man named Alan K. Simpson. I hadn't actually heard of him before, but after I saw his quote, I looked him up and he was a politician. But it's a fantastic quote, so I had to share it with you. If you have integrity, nothing else matters. If you don't have integrity, nothing else matters. That is certainly some good food for thought. And there's a very applicable proverb, Proverbs 10:9. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. I thought these 2 quotes really set the stage for this discussion today. I also find it interesting how, as small business owners, our personal integrity is very much linked to the integrity and the ethics in our business. So, although this discussion is about bringing more integrity and ethical behavior to your business, as small business owners, it's almost impossible to separate the two because you are your business and your business is you. So although this discussion is geared towards bringing integrity to your small business, it's just as much about your personal integrity as well. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get started. The first way to pursue integrity in your small business is to be respectful and kind in your communications. I don't know about you, but it seems like lately anymore, the human race is becoming quite a mean, nasty, rude, crass, disgruntled, impatient society. And I'm kind of getting tired of it. I mean, it seems like every time you make a mistake, somebody's ready to jump down your throat. There's no giving of grace to another person that they are human and that they made a mistake and that maybe they didn't intend to make that mistake. There's no forgiveness. There's only harshness. I'm also tired of how swearing has become so commonplace. I feel like when I read books set in a different era or watch a movie set in a different era, it really strikes me the difference in communication, how people were treated back then, even, you know, 100 years ago, it was extremely different. When you spoke to someone or were introduced to someone, it was always Mrs. So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so, and you had to ask to use their Christian name, to use their first name. In some ways, the increased familiarity that we have now is a good thing. But in other ways, it's kind of broken down that level of respect that we have for each other. I mean, all you have to do is look at a major news article online, and the comments just immediately head towards the nasty before too long. People calling each other names, people that they have never met, people saying extremely rude things, swearing every other word, and quite frankly, I am kind of tired of it. Once again, I am not saying that I am perfect. I am not always respectful and kind in my communications, I'm sure. But I at least hope I can make an effort at that. Another part of this would be admitting when you are wrong. Even if you really aren't wrong, but there's some way that you can phrase it that you could say, I believe it happened this way, but I could be wrong about my impression of the situation, and so if you felt this way, then I apologize or I'd like to correct that. I think too many people are very hesitant to admit any amount of wrongdoing, and by just saying that there's a possibility you might not be right, which by the way, there is that possibility, it really opens the door to gentler communications and a discussion rather than the pointing fingers approach. So that would be my first item as we work on bringing more integrity into our business and into our lives. Being respectful and kind in our communications is certainly a great first step. Now, I must say that so far with the community that we're building on the Brilliant Business Moms podcast and the blog and the Facebook page, all of you have only been kind and encouraging and helpful towards us and one another. So I applaud you there. And I hope we can continue along that way, not be critical and criticizing, not tearing down and being hurtful, but instead building each other up and practicing kindness and compassion towards each other. The second way to have integrity in your business is to be honest and trustworthy. This one seems completely obvious. Telling the truth, being honest in what you say, having your yes be yes and your no be no, that seems completely obvious. But how could we specifically apply this to maybe some of our small businesses that we have? Many of you have an Etsy shop or sell a product. Many of you also have blogs. So how can we apply honest and trustworthy to those businesses? First, I would say that I have noticed on occasion different blogs that I read where I kind of have a sense of the person. I've read them enough to know what they really believe about certain issues. And I've been surprised to find on those blogs advertisements for products or services or companies that I know are in disagreement with the principles that that blogger holds. And I must say, I'm quite surprised at that. If you hold very dearly a certain viewpoint on a subject, and then just for the sake of advertising dollars, you're willing to advertise for something that goes against your values, I feel like that advertising is not being honest and trustworthy to your readers. That kind of goes along with this principle of being genuine. If you are making yourself or your product out to be something that they are really not, then that's not really doing your readers or your customers a service. If you're not genuine, if you're not who you are, that's not honest and trustworthy. Sometimes being genuine means full disclosure of how things really happened or what life is really like. At least this is my opinion. So for instance, in full disclosure, I would like to admit that if you were to pop over and knock on my front door right now, I'm not so sure I'd want to give you a tour of my house. Full disclosure, it's a little cluttered right now. Dirty dishes in the sink, guinea pig food on the floor. I also feel completely overwhelmed sometimes about balancing things at home with my family and the house, and balancing this work, the podcast, and the Etsy shop. I can often feel a little bit overwhelmed and stressed. And I think sometimes we would like to see more of that full disclosure by people about how things really are. Pretending that everything, that you have everything all together, is just kind of lying to yourself and lying to your community. But be careful not to take it too far the other way. I think as women, sometimes that desire to fit in and feel like we are like everyone else can lead us to, you know, not say we're good at something, not say we have some area of our life kind of figured out, because we don't want to seem maybe know-it-all or superior. But to pretend like you're failing at something or not good at something just to kind of go along with the crowd, that can also be disingenuous as well. I'm not sure why as women we like to be so self-deprecating sometimes, but let's try and help each other by saying, you know what, this is what's working for me, and not being ashamed of, you know, saying we're good at something. Not getting too prideful, of course, but it's okay to be good at something, and we don't need to be so self-deprecating sometimes. So boy, we've got a tough line that we're supposed to walk here, I guess. I'm calling us to a high standard of truthfulness and honesty. Sorry. Now, I would say that I think I'm seeing more and more mothers or women or other authors giving more full disclosure about how things really are and being open and honest, because they have found that that does help to create that sense of community if other people can truly relate to who you really are. Another way to make sure you're being honest and trustworthy would be not to endorse products that you really can't stand by, or products that you or someone you trust haven't actually used and found helpful. It's so tempting with this whole advertising and product endorsement to kind of, you work so hard on your blog to get your readership. It's so hard to just want to sell whatever you can. But I think it's very important to be selective and to really only recommend those items that you or someone that you trust actually does use or recommends. When it comes to your products, being honest and trustworthy would probably look like not misleading or misrepresenting the true qualities of your product. Be honest about how it works, what size it is, the colors, anything that you can. Be completely honest and upfront, and that will only lead to happy customers when they do purchase. Okay, so number two was being honest and trustworthy. Number three, meet your obligations and be reliable. So do what you say you're going to do. If you're going to help someone or donate something, if you're going to show up for an event, show up. Do the thing you're going to say you're going to do. This can also relate to, you know, email responses and things of that nature. As a business owner, if someone emails you, you need to give them the courtesy of a response. I know email can get really out of control, so it can be difficult, but if email is getting out of control, then maybe another solution or a solution to that problem should be sought out. Even if your answer is no to that person, no, you don't want to donate, no, you don't want to be involved in that project, the courteous thing to do is to respond and give them that no answer. That's being reliable. That's meeting your obligations. Beth Ann and I are really trying to do a good job with that, but I must admit we do mess up sometimes. So if you send us an email, which we're always so excited to get emails from our listeners, we are doing our very best to respond. That is a high priority for us. But if we do mess up, give us a little bit of grace and forgive us, okay? We're really trying. Meeting your obligations and being reliable also relates to your products. Quality products do what you say they are going to do. And if your product can't hold up to that standard, then you need to rework it. So not only is this meeting your obligations and being reliable, not only does it relate to you physically doing something or responding to something or attending something, but it also relates to your product doing what you say it will do, being reliable. Now, related to this, being reliable, I think sometimes for myself, my disorganization holds me back. There have certainly been times when I have let things slip through the cracks, an RSVP to something, or I said I was going to contribute this and it completely slipped my mind. And in those instances, I think a lot of it has to do with my disorganization. That's not an excuse, though. I need to take those moments and use them as fuel to be more on top of things, get more organized, or maybe eliminate things that are going on that I don't really need to be doing. If you have signed up to work with two different volunteer groups or charities, and you keep not doing what you're saying you're going to do for those, number one, maybe you need to just get more on top of things, but that's easier said than done sometimes. Being more organized is not always the answer. Sometimes the answer, which Money Saving Mom is a big proponent of this, sometimes the answer is saying no to something so that you can say a full yes to something else. Sometimes it's making those sort of decisions. So maybe the one charity you feel passionate about and the other you don't, well, maybe it's time to really focus on the one so that you can be reliable and meet your obligations. I think it's better to be reliable at one thing and do one thing really well than it is to not be reliable at 10 things and do those 10 things poorly. So sometimes it's helpful to evaluate and maybe say no to some things that just aren't as important to you and maybe just not as important right now. So number three was meet your obligations and be reliable. Number four, be passionate and engaged. So what does being passionate and engaged have to do with integrity? Well, this one I actually stole from my husband's accounting firm. I was having a conversation with him about this podcast episode, and he was running through their kind of business ethics guidelines at his firm. And so I asked him about that. Well, why did they say passionate and engaged? And the answer is a great one. You are going to give a better quality product to your customers or your clients if you are passionate and engaged in what you are doing. It makes sense. So if you are passionate about accounting, like hopefully the accountants are at Mike's accounting firm, they are clearly going to be giving their audit clients a better quality product, a better audit, better customer service if they are passionate about the job that they are doing. And obviously the same goes for each one of us in our small businesses. If you really don't like your business, I don't think you're going to be giving a great quality product to your client or your customer. If you don't really love the product that you make, then your customers aren't going to be happy with it either. So I thought this was a really interesting one. I think it also can relate to hiring. Katie mentioned how with her employees, this is in episode 33, she mentioned that their personal development is extremely important to her. So she wants her employees to benefit not only just in a monetary way from working with her, she wants them to benefit in other ways as well. I also noticed that Dave Ramsey is really big on this. He is very particular about who he hires, trying to make sure that they are a right fit for his company, not only because that benefits his company, but also because that benefits the employee. If he hires someone that it's obvious that they will be miserable working for Dave Ramsey, well, that benefits nobody. So I thought that was a really interesting angle on this. Whenever you get to the point, and you will, where you are hiring employees, I had never really thought about this, but I think that hiring passionate and engaged employees will make all the difference for everybody involved. So number four was be passionate and engaged about your business. Number five, be consumed with the needs of others. This one I took off of Dave Ramsey too, on his Entree Leadership website. So being consumed with the needs of others. This can relate to your relationship with your customers and also your relationship with your employees. Obviously, it is so easy for us all to get very selfish about looking out for our own needs. But by putting the needs of others first, it will truly help not only you and your customer, but your business as well. Not an easy thing to do. I'm trying to teach my kids. The last will be the first and the first will be last. They have no idea what I'm talking about. So this relates to customer service. If you have an unhappy customer, maybe you're right. Maybe they are wrong in this situation, but putting their needs first, they will just be floored. If you are putting the need of the customer well above the needs of the company, they are just going to be amazed. Think of an example from your own experiences where a company really went above and beyond for you, really gave you fabulous customer service, did more than they really needed to do to make you happy, and you'll realize how important it is for you to do this in your business as well. Now let me give you an example that I had recently where I feel like a company was looking out for their needs and not my needs. And I wanted to really endorse this company to you guys at some point, but I'm afraid I will never be a customer again. And I hate to call them out like this, but I'm going to do it. So I had signed up for KiwiCrate, which is a monthly box that comes in the mail for kids with a craft activity for them to do. And I was pretty impressed with the kits. They were really well done. They had fun craft activities in them. The kids enjoyed doing the projects, but we're starting to be a little bit stricter on our budget here at home. And we have a couple still in our basement that we hadn't gotten to yet. So I decided I was just going to cancel the subscription, even though the kids liked it. It was just an unnecessary expense for us right now. So I go online and I log in and I try to cancel my subscription. Well, imagine my surprise when I can't just cancel my subscription online. I have to call a telephone number. And it was off hours, so I didn't speak with anyone, but you have to leave your name and your phone number and your email and tell them you want to cancel, and then they're going to do it within a day. Well, I'm sorry, but that is just not great customer service. If it is easy enough for me to sign up for your product online, the right thing to do, putting my needs as a consumer and a customer above your own, would be to allow canceling be as easy as signing up. That is the right thing to do. But by making a customer call and do another extra step in order to cancel, I feel like that company was looking out for their needs and not my needs. And because of that, I'm not going to be a customer again. I've had similar things happen with a certain newspaper subscription that we get at our home where you had to go through hoops of all these different phone calls that you had to make in order to cancel your newspaper subscription. That is clearly, they are just trying to trap you. They're trying to make it too hard for the consumer or customer to quit their subscription. And that is looking out for their needs, not my needs. So once again, I feel like maybe some of these companies are putting their bottom line above the happiness and well-being of their customers. So number five, which I really love as a principle of integrity within your business, be consumed with the needs of others. And that is straight from Dave Ramsey, so thank you for that one. So I hope this episode got you thinking today about different ways to add more integrity to your business. I certainly don't want to get on a soapbox being accusatory or saying that we have it all together. Being a person or a business of integrity is going to be an ongoing lifelong practice. So let me review those five strategies with you one more time. Five ways to pursue integrity in your small business. Number one, be respectful and kind in your communications. Number two, be honest and trustworthy. Number three, meet obligations and be reliable. Number four, be passionate and engaged. Number five, be consumed with the needs of others. And to close, I have two more good quotes. I guess I'm on a quote roll these days, so I hope you like them as much as I do. The first one is actually by Bob Marley. The greatness of a man is not in how much wealth he acquires, but in his integrity and his ability to affect those around him positively. The next one is from H. Jackson Brown Jr. And this is a really great one. This one is going on my refrigerator. Live so that when your children think of fairness, caring, and integrity, they think of you. Wow, that's really a tough one. I'm going to have to work at this one. But let me say this one again. It's by H. Jackson Brown Jr. Live so that when your children think of fairness, caring, and integrity, they think of you. Integrity is something that it's a tall order. It is not always easy to do the right thing. It's just not. And I just hope I can continue to pursue integrity in my personal life and in my business. I would love for you to weigh in on what you think about these five ways to pursue integrity, or maybe you have a couple other ways that I missed, or was I too unfair in calling out some businesses, or too unfair in some of my opinions on this subject? Just let me know. You can let me know on Facebook or comment on the blog. But if you do comment, please do it in a kind way. Now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.